Starting off with water. As the old saying goes, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to spare. Some old sailor on the high seas probably invented that, that saying that became famous across the world to describe his particular situation, that's surrounded by billions and trillions of liters and gallons of water, but not a drop to spare because all of it is salty. That is the irony of so many countries of the world, that fresh water, although no doubt many countries of the world are water stressed, but part of that water stress is pollution and water that has become unfit for human consumption. I mean, any of you folks, especially if you live north of Johannesburg, will attest to it, right? You'll attest to the quality of rivers, the Hennops River, the Yuxke River, all of them at one point, you know, were the lifeblood of that area, agriculture, and even, drinking water. But today, unfortunately, pollution having run rampant in that area, that it has become nothing but a flow of sludge in certain areas. More than I would say scores or hundreds of children die weekly and daily from diarrhea caused by unsafe drinking water, poor sanitation and poor hygiene practices, not just here in South Africa, but across the world. Now, this is according to a recent study conducted by World Vision South Africa in three provinces in particular, KZN, Free State and Limpopo. Not to say that the issue is not dire elsewhere, but the study of course being based in these three areas. Now we discuss the matter with EU project facilitator World Vision Unati Nikani. Good evening, Unati.
Good evening, Janet. How are you?
And thank you for joining us on Radio Islam International. Doing well. Tell us, Unati, what were the main findings of this recent study done in these provinces?
Janet, we went in these provinces, we focused on about 1,475 households and about 21 schools. And we also went to 16 facilities in these communities. Out of them, we found that at least 13% of children in those households have had diarrhea. And we also found that 73% of children within those communities have reported that they do wash their hands and before and after eating. However, the kids who do not have access to water. And we also found that in various schools, there are schools who do not have access to water, and there are children who don't have access to water in those particular communities. So it makes the issue of washing hands and a serious matter for us that we need to address.
Unati, we know that these areas here have been like this for a long, long time. I mean, there's little development in that area. It's not just, now in the 1990s, but you could say for years going back. But during the time of COVID, in the last year to year and a half, many inequalities were highlighted. But the issue of safe drinking water and poor sanitation in poor rural and township areas have been a concern for a long, long time, well before the pandemic hit the country. I mean, what has been done? We've seen a lot of effort to put electricity in different areas of the country and schooling, etc. But the basic thing of water, the basic issue of water, are we still doing poorly in that regard on behalf of these people?
To go into these communities, you will see a dire need for water. Water is a necessity. Water is an issue that we need to address as speedily as we can. Because you see, with COVID-19, it not only highlighted the need for water, but it came out strongly but because of the fact that we cannot expect community, we are preaching the issue of communities while washing their hands, so social distancing and all of that. But it makes it difficult when we don't have access to clean drinking water first. If we don't have access to clean drinking water, how it makes it worse for us to have access to washing our hands. So that issue is very serious. But we in partnership with the European Union, we are trying to provide hand washing stations. We are providing what we call water storage facilities. In the layman's language, we will say JoJo tanks, for at least that when municipalities deliver water to these areas, people have access to it. However, as much with that being said, we still have communities, for instance, in KZN, who still do not have water at all, whereas the water tanks that are supposed to be delivered, the water tanks that are supposed to deliver water to those communities do not go there on a weekly basis. Then you find that now people have to go to dams which are not clean, which have water that is not clean. They have to go there to collect water. And in most cases, you find that some of those communities are not aware of the fact that you need to boil the water before you drink it and all of that. But there is lack of awareness on what they need to do. But they do not have to go to the dams if we, if the government, in partnership with the local stakeholders and all other stakeholders, were able to provide water to those particular communities. Thank you.
Unati, World Vision implemented training in Kha Sekororo and Sekosese in Limpopo, Tamanchu in Free State, and of course Greytown in KZN. Talk to us about this training. What does this training entail? Do you get like a class of of community members, or do you target maybe the youngsters or the ladies or who are responsible sometimes for bringing water from the river or from the dam? How does this training work?
What we did, Junaid, is that we called on the local stakeholders. We also called in the people that are from communities. Also, we had people who we normally call teacher assistants, and also people from your work committees, because they are the direct they have direct communication with community members. The training that we train them on is what we call risk communication and community engagement. Why we focus on that's the first training that we train them on. Because at this time, where it is important that with COVID, it's important that we give people accurate information with regards to COVID, accurate information with regards to hygiene and sanitation. And hygiene and sanitation is one issue that has not been taken seriously. But now it came out with COVID that we need to look after ourselves. We need to ensure that hygiene is we have good hygiene practices. So we train them on RCCE, where we want to assist with that. Whatever that you do, the communication that you give to communities with regards to COVID-19 and hygiene, it must be accurate information. And it will also assist, because you understand that during the first phase of the inception or the first phase of COVID-19, people had various communication coming out, and they were misinformed. But it's important, in order for us to curb the spread of COVID-19, we need to give communities accurate information in at the right time, because continuous verified information, in order for them to have better understanding, and in order for them to work together to address issues that are affecting them at this particular moment is COVID-19 and hygiene. The moment people have accurate information, they are able to work together to address the issues. And now it will also minimize the level of misinformation that comes out from social media and all of that. And we also trained people on the vaccination, what they need to know. Because what we found out is that people have misinformed coming to being vaccinated, coming with different stories. Then
Unati, regarding the water issue itself, Unati, yes, yes, I mean, yes, yes. That you have these areas here that have got a compromised water supply. What type of training would World Vision implement to educate them to now purify and to have a better water supply, noting that the service delivery from the side of either the province or the side of government is not a reliable one, as you had alluded to last time, that, you know, it may come once a week, it may not show up, you may not be there when it, you know, comes, it may run out, etc. So they are forced to now go to these rivers and these streams. With regards to the purification process of the water, what type of training would you give those individuals?
We trained people on what to call participatory hygiene and sanitation transformation. In short, it is called FAST, where it focuses that what do you do with the water that you collect from the river? And once that water is in the house, for instance, we know that in rural areas, community members use or store their water in buckets. But then you find that with that water, it's not sealed. So stray animals have access to it and all of that. So we were focusing them, we were training them that how to have good hygiene practices in the household, because we know in rural areas there's lots of domestic animals, and then also you find children playing with those animals and coming back and inserting their hands in the water that is meant for the drinking in the household. So it was important that we train them and show them how to look after their water storage facilities in the household, how to look after when they do go to the dam, as much as, because we also know in the dam there are people who do their laundry there and all of that. So we're trying to show them that the water that you collect is not always clean. Because we have animals playing there, we have people doing laundry, we have children swimming in those dams, and you also find that there are also people that swimming there. Also find that now, if that water is not purified before drinking it, it may cause you diarrhea and all other hygiene-related diseases.
You know, it's mentioned in the report that there's a large number of children, in particular adults also, but children are more susceptible to diarrhea because of what is called waterborne diseases. Now, you get your established waterborne diseases of bilharzia, etc. But now, when it comes to drawing water these days from a supply like the dam or like from the the river, and it is unpurified, you have other pollutants, you have effluent from factories sometimes that have made their way inside there, or as you had mentioned, human waste that finds itself. And there are many, informal settlements these days that have established themselves on the banks of the rivers where people draw water from there, but at the same time dump waste inside there at the same time. That you have mentioned something about these diseases. Do you also create an awareness about what type of diseases one could pick up by not, purifying the water?
Exactly that, mate. We, on the training and also on the awareness campaign that we held, we made them see. Because some of the time, even the training we did not make it high level kind of thing, but we saw the activities that they do on a daily basis, which may lead to the diarrhea, which may lead to malaria, which may lead to all other high hygiene and sanitation related diseases in their communities. And out of that, it made them see and realize what they need to do, because most of the activities that we do in households, they are not taking them seriously. So just for argument's sake, even once you change a child's diaper, what do you do with that waste? Do you wash your hands after that? Even the utensils that you use in the household, you need to wash it before someone uses it. So all of those things were the training, was the combination of all of that. Even with the awareness program that we're doing in schools, and why we focus on schools, it is where children are. It is one of the places where this disease is spread in schools, in ECD centers, also where they are playing. So it was important for us that we do these campaigns to make them aware on how to look after themselves and the importance of looking after water, because water is a scarce commodity at the moment.
Onati, finally, before we conclude our conversation, in reality, that this job here is supposed to be the job of the provincial government and the national government to provide clean drinking water to all its citizens, which is a basic human right. I mean, before anything else, you need to have clean drinking water in order to survive and to stay healthy. What pressure is being placed? Now, you know, the study was done or the training was done in these three areas, but what study or what burden and responsibility is now being placed upon the provincial or the local government in the area that, you know, it's not the job of NGOs or private citizens to do your work for you, but you need to come and look after these people?
And also to stop with the lip service coming into this particular matter, because we have ask them now continuously that as we are putting these toilets or tanks in communities, as we are putting these hand washing stations in communities, supply water. Please supply water to ensure that these people are able to drink clean water. People are able to wash their hands. As I've indicated before, we have communities in KZN. As much as we have placed that and they are fully aware of what is there, we have to continuously seek to ensure that supply water to communities, to ensure that people are drinking clean water and also people are able to wash their hands. As I've indicated before tonight, schools, clinics, churches, and tax rank, it is where people need water the most, because that is where they usually need. So we are pushing government to say that please work with communities, work with us, and provide people with clean water. But we understand we have various issues, but it's important for us, for organizations such as World Vision, such as the EU, to partner with government to ensure that there is safety in our communities.
Onati Nikani, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International. Have yourself a good evening, and thank you for this important discussion.